Hello, welcome to Conversation Street. This is episode 131, and we're talking about curry from the 5th to the 9th of January today. I'm Michael, and I was going to introduce you just to
change
it.
Yeah, but you said, and what are you going to say then?
I'll just say, and I'm here with my lovely, beautiful wife, Gemma.
Oh, you weren't going
to
say that.
Well, we're both here, and we're talking about, we must be in a romantic mood, because of the curry wedding that was today.
Aww.
Did it live up to your expectations or your hopes of a wedding or with no drama, or no, like,
no heavy,
you know,
drama.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It kind of went off without a hitch, with only a few light-hearted little...
Yeah, that ought to be something in the slight lateness.
Boring wedding, isn't it?
I love the Tinker family, by the way. I'll just get that out of the way now.
I'm not keen on them.
You said that on Wednesday.
They were let down to me.
I don't understand why.
I wanted them all to be a bit mad and likeable, but I didn't
find... mad and likeable.
Okay, well, I didn't think they were that more crazy than anyone else's family.
You can talk.
No, yeah. I mean on Coronation Street.
I thought they were all supposed to be real caricatures.
If you were to say to me, this is Tyrone's family.
Well, Tyrone's mum is also mad.
I understand that, Michael. What I'm saying is, if you didn't know who anyone's family was and you went, this is... You know what I mean? They literally could be anyone's family.
I suppose if they wanted to bring in a family that was particularly mad just to...
It was cool the way that there were 3 generations of them all being crazy.
Yeah, although some people on the internet have pointed out that Beth's mum, it looks older than her grandma.
Yeah, well, that's just mean.
Grandma was sitting down a lot, wasn't she? Like...
And also, I didn't like the way they didn't like Kirk.
No, I didn't like that.
That just came across as a bit petty and mean, rather than funny. Do you know what I mean?
That bit wasn't funny. I thought that everything else was funny, but I also thought, well, if I was in their situation and I was going to visit a relative and they were marrying somebody like Kirk, first impressions before I got to know him, I would probably have a little whisper to you and say, oh,
so
my
you
God.
Went, you watched the Tinkers and you went, this family is being portrayed with a high level of realism that I appreciate.
Yeah, but the thing is, we know somebody whose boyfriend is a bit dopey, and we say it, don't we?
We do. Well, I do.
But we're not horrible. We're still lovable,
horrible.
Aren't we?
I'm a horrible person. I'm very judgmental.
No, you're
that's
not.
Why I've made a podcast where I judge people. But they're fictional, so it's okay.
Well, we've been saying we've been wanting the rest of the Tinker clan for ages, and
I think it's because in my heart I still wanted it to be Alice Tinker and the Vicar of Dibley.
It could still be.
It wouldn't have been more funny if they all turned out to be more stupid than Beth and Sinead.
I don't think they were. I think that they were very much. They were very like.
They were on a par with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't my point.
There could have been a real thick one, I suppose.
That would have been really funny.
I thought that the who is it? I can't remember any of their names. Beth's sister reminded me of Yana. That was a nice little flashback for me. Sort of tall, blondes, kind of like a bit trashy looking. I don't know how long they're going to be in it for. I mean, that could have been it for all we know.
It could have been, but
that'd be really sad.
Yes.
I didn't understand. I know we're not even talking about this yet, but I didn't understand why they hadn't met either Chesney or Kirk beforehand, considering that they supposedly just live a number 6 bus drive away.
Yeah.
That was a bit unrealistic, I think.
Very unrealistic.
Especially, I don't know, they seem to be a fairly close-ish family.
Well, yeah, they did seem to be. They had lots of in-jokes and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah.
Anyway. Shall we move on to curry history?
Yes.
Because... It's been 75 years since Linda Tanner was born.
That's Dennis Tanner's sister.
Of course it is. And 40 years.
Oh, I didn't finish reading those notes. Emily. That's
Emily
it.
Accepts her proposal from Carlos.
Yes.
Which is Malcolm Hebden's first Coronation Street role.
He wasn't always Norris. He was once Spanish, I think.
Carlos. Until she discovers he's just after a work permit. Bloody immigrant. Gordon, I can say that because I don't believe it.
Yes.
So it's okay. Gordon Clegg discovers that Betty is his mum and not his aunt.
Yeah, that's Betty.
Didn't
that's
that happen
Betty
to
Betty.
Cliff Richard?
I don't know, but it did happen to Ashley Peacock with Fred, didn't it?
It's one of those things.
This is Betty, you know, Betty.
Betty. 30 years since Bill Webster married Elaine and took her and her daughter Debbie down to Southampton to live.
Yeah, they live in Southampton. Oh, they lived
they're
in Southampton.
They live quite near us, don't they? Yeah. 25 years since the first appearance of Vicky Arden.
Steve's first wife.
And 5 years since Gail and Joe got married.
Oh, this is obviously the week for getting married.
It's the post-Christmas blues. It's the perfect remedy.
I can't remember what happened at Gail and Joe's wedding, but I'm sure there was some kind of tragedy going on in the background.
I was thinking
shocking surprise. There's always something.
I was thinking today when they had the wedding that January is actually a really good month for weddings. Although it seems terrible because winter weddings I think are amazing. I think if I could have if I was just to pick a season to get married in, I would pick winter because I just love
We did get to pick a season to get married in.
No, we didn't. We had to get married in the summer. Oh,
yeah, we had to get married in the summer because of my holidays.
Yeah. So I would pick winter anyway. And if you have it before Christmas, everyone's too busy worrying about Christmas and they don't really want to go to your wedding.
That's true.
And then in January, it's so depressing and crap that wouldn't it be nice to just lift everything up with a nice wedding? And then every year, you have your wedding anniversary.
Yeah, I suppose it's something nice to look forward to post-Christmas, isn't it?
Because pretty much every month that isn't a nice hot month has got something interesting happening in it. Do you know what I mean?
Like Valentine's Day in February. Yeah. January is just one long slog to get through. Well, January is the month of big Coronation Street things, isn't it? Because that's when the National Television Awards are.
How exciting. Shall we move on to Street Talk? There have been so many storylines
we've merged them all into.
We just put them all together because that's easier for us. So we had the first one we've just been nattering on about for the past 5 minutes, which was the Wedding Kirk storyline. Well, you know pretty much most about. We've probably just skipped.
I was a bit disappointed by their Wedding Kirk in the end today.
It was a bit.
The fact that they were building up and they weren't showing it and they were like looking under the covers and everything. Then it was only on screen for like a split second.
They could have at least had some of those comedy bride and groom sugar paste figures.
I was imagining some kind of amazing cake, big, colourful.
I was imagining like a Rubik's Cube kind of, you know, like eight, like something. Neon lights and kind of.
But it was just that Frankie Goes to Hollywood thing, wasn't it?
Well, that was probably.
That was the happy storyline of the week.
That was probably one of the reasons for Steve's depression this week, because he was sad again.
Yes.
And then finally.
Michelle got a new man as well, didn't she? That's partly in that storyline. Yeah. Same thing.
And finally, the Need for Speed, Kylie, David, Platts.
Without Kylie.
Etc.
Callum. So let's get cracking with the wedding storyline then.
Well, on Monday, Kirk was having pre-wedding jitters because he's worried about everything to do with the wedding, especially his wedding speech. And Maria tries to offer advice to picture everybody naked and then decides that that's not a very good idea. And she also decides to add a bit of drama to her relationship with Luke by banning him from going to the wedding.
I didn't understand that. There was
absolutely no need for it. It didn't make any sense.
It's just for the on-again, off-again drama that nobody really cares about.
Because she could have just said, okay, I'm just going to get this over and done with. Why don't you just say, let's not go as dates with each other because I don't want to introduce you to my family just yet because I want it to be Kirk's day. Hmm. She didn't have to say, I don't want it to be a thing with you. I don't want to make a big deal about it. I don't want my family to meet you. You can't come. Because Kirk wanted him to be there. And it's Kirk's blimmin' wedding, not Maria's wedding.
Yeah.
Selfish cow.
Meanwhile, Sinead and Ali are still finishing off that basque, which had the wine spilt on it last week. Well, Sinead is anyway.
Ali is just there thinking that she's like the queen of charity by staying with Sinead and keeping her company.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting that she was saying, oh, isn't this a little bit mindless for you or anything? I think she maybe sees a bit more potential in Sinead. I could almost imagine like Alia leaving the factory with like another contact and whisking Sinead away and starting some cool like trendy rival.
No, I thought Alia was just being a bit, isn't your job boring working in a factory? Yeah,
maybe there's a bit of that as well.
They're trying to make her seem really nice and friendly and down to earth, but she just came across as some kind of stuck-up princess who'd deigned to get out of her castle for 5 minutes to supervise the plebs.
I do think Alia's more interesting now she's working in the factory. It's given her something to do, hasn't it, rather than just like appearing scenes with Gary. I also liked in that little scene where she asks Sinead if she's going to marry Chesney because they were talking about weddings and that, and Sinead's like, oh, I suppose so. I hope so. So that'll be something nice to look forward to. I hope so too.
Beth's very pleased when she sees the fruits of Sinead's labour in the form of the finished bath.
Yeah, Beth's been so cute all week to this week, hasn't she? Just overexcited about everything.
She's a bit too hammy and I don't know.
You said that about today's episode, didn't you, a little bit too much? Well, I think it suits her, a bit over the top and everything.
Kirk, Chesney and Jason are having manly chats in a cafe because Chesney has got a broken rad. Now, I knew what they were talking about because I was here when they were installing our central heating. And you weren't.
I didn't know what that rad was. But yeah, it's the radiator, isn't it? Jason says he'll fix it. I didn't know where this was going, but it was going somewhere. Because he goes over there and the radiator are all bunged up and everything. So he starts a set to work on that. So meanwhile, all the characters are talking about who they're going to come dressed as for this 80s wedding, because it is fancy dress themed.
It is indeed, and it's not just 80s theme, it's come as a figure from the 80s theme, isn't it?
Yes.
Because everyone's come as pop stars and stuff.
Yeah, pop stars and movie stars. Was, well, Julie...
Why couldn't you go as Princess Diana?
Was
not that I would have done, but still.
Julie came as a song or something, didn't she?
No, Julie came as a character who's from a music video.
Oh, was she? Okay, fine.
Was a pop singer from a specific video.
Okay. Well, Beth has told Craig he wants to go as Boy George. All the young children hadn't heard of these people. And I've hardly heard of most of them.
I know
who Boy George is, but it did make me feel nice and youthful that I didn't know who most of the people were they were talking about.
I know, but the thing is, though, if they were to do it for the 90s or the noughties or even last year, we still would be like, who's that?
No, I'd be able to do the 90s. That would be my era. They'd go as the Spice Girls or whatever. I'd be okay with that. Or like Oasis or whatever. I think I'd be okay. But yeah, he doesn't want to go with Boy George because he'll look stupid.
Yeah.
Jason, in the background, blows up the radiator. He comes off and he gets himself all soaked just in time for the Tinker Clan to come.
Take my top off and bare my manly chest.
Yeah, no, there's a scene just for you there, Gemma.
I don't get the appeal of it. It's really funny.
I'm so glad that you don't find hunky muscular bronzed men attractive.
The thing is, though, Jason's thick anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I only like him out for his lovely personality and witty repartee and stuff.
Encyclopedic Coronation Street knowledge. Anyway, they're all here, so they think that he's Kirk.
They're
severely disappointed when they realise that it's not. They think that he's that the actual Kirk is not much comparison when he actually turns up. So basically, we have lots of scenes on Monday's episode of the Tinkers just basically settling in and being very loud and brash and crude and everything. Like Beth's sister, is it Arlene or something? Her sister. She's creeping, getting as a crush on Jason all through that episode. But Beth does stands up for Kirk, of course, saying that he is the best thing that's ever happened to her.
Yeah.
They're also a bit critical about the overall 80s theme, because they were like, oh, what happened to the swans and violins and everything that you were going to have? But she's like, yeah, we couldn't have afforded it in the end.
No, well, she tries to make out that she didn't want it, but I feel really bad for her at this point, because they're all just slating everything, and she just wants them to be happy, and...
They weren't slating it hugely,
though.
They're just like, oh,
even the smallest amount of criticism, when it's your wedding...
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah.
To an outsider, it didn't seem like it was too much. It just seemed like family, kind of. So what happened to this then? Like, it's a bit of a joke, but I suppose if I'd been in that situation, I would have felt differently.
Exactly.
Sinead's grandma, Nan, or whatever it is that she gets called, I think she's one of the ones that stood out to me the most this week. Her and the sister, I think the mum, not so much, but I thought it was funny when she was with Sinead on the sofa saying that she's going to give her all her fortune when she dies. This could be a new...
A new
useful source of revenue for Janae to Chesney, and it just turns out that she's batty and broke.
Barmy. Yeah. But I think that will turn out that she does have a fortune.
Yeah, I think that could well be that. I do feel sorry for Craig, though, because they talked about it again in tonight's episode, didn't they, with Nan saying that Janae was always her fave, but
it's
Beth's
really
mum
neat.
Was saying that Craig is, so it's okay in the end. They got
oh,
money.
Wow.
Anyway, the men are all cleared off by the end of that because they're going to...
They have separate
Yeah, they're going
houses.
To Tyrone's house, didn't they, to stay for the stag do on Wednesday. But all the hens are staying at...
Chesney's house.
Then at the end of the episode, Luke...
Oh, no, Kirk and Beth's house or whoever.
Oh, yeah, I'll get mixed up.
Whoever lives there, that's where they're staying.
Yeah, the house where all the wafers trays crash. No, that's Eileen's house. Luke gets told at the end of... the episode by Maria that...
Well, he thinks he's going to the wedding with Maria, and she says, oh, no, it's too early, I don't want to explain you to my family. And he says, fine, that's fine, but he looks really gutted. And she keeps saying, oh, I don't want to put pressure on us as a couple, and he's like, that's not why.
I didn't even, like, take the hint, well, it wasn't even a hint, that the Sutherlands would actually turn up. Because they always talk about family and so on, but then at the last minute they always pull out for something like so-and-so's ill or so-and-so's looking after somebody, and it's a bit of a trope or a bit of a cliche in a soap that people who would actually turn up for a wedding don't turn up. Yeah. But good on the Sutherlands for coming along. That was the first time since 2008 that we'd seen them, apparently. And it was the same actors and everything.
I know. I was just mean for a one-off appearance. This is why I think they usually don't. And we always say, oh, they could have at least got them for one scene. And then when they're here, they're like, oh, why did they bother bringing them?
That was good. I thought that Dad was funny today.
I thought the mum was a cow. Surprise cow.
She was definitely looking down her nose at them.
She was.
But she did look a bit, well, she looked teary when Kurt was walking down the aisle, but I don't know whether it was just because
they
disapproved of him dressed up as Adamant. So anyway, Wednesday, Kirk and Beth say their goodbyes in the factories. This is the last time they'll see each other before.
She's really excited, but he's overwhelmed and very nervous.
Yeah.
And then it's uncovered that Kirk, Craig, Chess and Tyrone all want to be the Blues Brothers together.
That's the easiest costume to do.
And Tyrone says he's going to do something else.
Yeah, he changed his mind.
And then something gets mentioned about Adamant, but nobody picks up on that.
Yeah.
And then the hen night happens in the Rovers. Maria, Julie, Tracy, Sinead. Billy comes in and they all think he is a stripper because he's got his dog collar on,
isn't he? He does take it all good
he's
fun.
He's a really good sport, actually. Yeah. I think you kind of have to be if you're a modern vicar, especially if you're a gay vicar, I think.
I think they're going to have to tone him down a little bit because then he was like saying, oh, well, I can never love a cocktail sausage.
No, he can't be.
A straight vicar wouldn't say that about boobs or anything. Same thing,
I love boobs, mate. God made them, what can I say?
I think he's great for sure, and he's a really fun and interesting character, and I was really gutted that he only turned up for one half scene in tonight's episode, because I wanted to see kind of more Sean and Billy, but he's not going to come across as a really realistic vicar, not that I know many vicars,
no.
If he carries on quite like that.
You've probably met more vicars than most people.
Yeah, I've met some vicars, and I don't know any like that, exactly. So anyway, the Tinker family, meanwhile, back at the house, this is sad.
If you're a gay vicar with a love of innuendo, please feel free to write in.
Yeah, do let us know you really exist. The Tinkers have just got back from Freshco's with bags of booze and everything, and this is when they have their laugh about Kirk being a box-packing goofy sound-alike.
That's horrible.
It's the sort of thing people would say, I'm sorry. And then he's sitting at the top of the stairs having a bit of a sad Kirk.
He's very sad about it. I don't know how he gets out in the end.
I never know whether to take Kirk's sad face seriously because he has
he just looks silly.
He's got a silly turned down mouth. He's like Beaker off of the Muppets, isn't he? Like, but yeah, that's a bit sad. So it's just making him feel even worse now.
Well, meanwhile, Tracy's also feeling a bit sad at the hen do because of her failed wedding.
Tracy was great this week because when she was said that supportive little congratulations to Beth in the pub, and there wasn't an ounce of malice or anything in there, was there at all?
She's got a heart sometimes.
I think there's like maybe Amy is absorbing it from her mum.
I think she must be. Like she goes in there at night and just kind of stares at her and like drinks it in. Right, so Kurt is maudlin at his bachelor party, and even a rap from Tyrone cannot lift his spirits. And Craig says, oh, I'm really chuffed that you're marrying my mum. She's had loads of blokes on the Kirk, the one that's peed on.
Oh, I didn't write the full sentence there. Kirk is the only one that Daryl has peed on.
Oh, okay.
Which proves that he is...
Makes more sense.
Daryl made a bit of a cameo opinion appearance in that episode. I don't know how long Daryl's supposed to live. How long do rats live?
25 to life. Right, so...
Not like a hamster, then.
They tried to get him to do his wedding dance. Because he's got to this choreographed dance or something.
Yeah, the all night long one.
And then he freaks out and says he's calling the wedding off because everyone just wants to laugh at him. And Chesney, he kind of storms off and Chesney chases after him and says, look, you're great and you're well suited to Beth and
he says
you're
he's
my hero.
That was
and
nice.
He cheers up.
I do like the relationship between Kirk and Craig. They're like brothers, aren't they?
I thought that was Chesney, though.
Hmm? That's what I said, Chesney and Kirk. Yeah, that's what I mean.
So... On Friday, Kirk is still worried about everything. Chesney tries to calm him down, and Kirk says, I haven't made enough effort. And then he rushes out, and he leaves his phone behind, and Chesney doesn't see him leave. And this is where we get all the details about all the different people and what they're dressed up as, like Tracy, Sinead and Maria are Bananarama in matching dungarees.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Kirk didn't think he'd made enough effort. I mean, I don't know, I suppose he hadn't seen many of these other costumes, but a lot of them really did look like they'd been put on by a makeup department. I mean, I know...
You mean
a costume department. I'm saying all the wrong words tonight.
I know.
I know that, like, if it's a wedding, you're going to make a bit more effort than a normal fancy dress party, but some of them did look a little bit too pristine.
They looked like... Like actual costumes, as in like stage costume.
Yeah, like I'm making something like about theatrical. The '80s. Yeah, I thought the Bananarama were cool. Merritt's big hair. Tracy looked cool as well with the hairy hair side to the side.
Hairy hair side, yes, darling. Kirk is good. Basically, his costume would consist of a suit with sunglasses on. And if you went to a wedding and you saw that everyone was wearing fancy dress apart from the groom who was wearing sunglasses, you'd think, this plonker has just organised it so that he can wear sunglasses at his wedding and try to look cool.
Yeah.
When you think that, you think...
It was not great effort, was it?
So, we also see Julie, who's also panicking, because what is a wedding without a good panic? She's trying to make the cake, but she has procrastinated far too long about the design of the thing and now has herself enough time to do it. So Mary has to come and help. Mary, being Mary, cannot do anything by halves.
Like she whips the
She whips her... And also, her ISA was bigger than Julie's.
It was a...
And then later on, when it's finished, Mary starts taking credit for it, and then she and Julie start bickering, and then they have the cake between them on a piece of cardboard, and they're just shoving it around each other and arguing, and it just looked like it was going to go fall on the floor.
Yeah, it's a bit farcical, and they're clip-clopping down the street, but I was just disappointed that the cakes were rubbish in the end, to be honest, at the end of it.
Couldn't they have hired somebody?
They could have got Chucky Wacky Doodahs or something to make them one.
A cake would... I mean, a proper good wedding cake costs hundreds of pounds, but it doesn't have to be a real cake, it just had to be the outside of a cake.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been like a little shell, couldn't it? What they need was just Eddie Windass. He would have made them a good cake. Yeah,
he would have knocked up a good cake.
Yeah.
So, again, we get the reinforcement of the fact that Maria does not want Luke to go to the wedding because he sees her in her costume and he looks upset.
Yes.
Now, it becomes apparent that people have realised that Kirk is missing, because Chesney starts asking Maria, where's Kirk? And he says, why? Do you not know where he is? Is he missing? And Chesney goes, yeah, it's all under control, everything's fine. And there's another panic with another pair of characters, because Sophie and Maddie, not only have they both dressed as Madonna like each other, but they've also dressed as Madonna just like Beth.
I couldn't tell that Beth
was dressed as Madonna.
No, she just looked like...
She looked like a
virgin.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I assume so. I don't know. You have a look at that picture on your phone.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose so. But, I mean, I can understand that women have a problem with if you wear the same outfit as each other. It wasn't, was it? But I did like the glare that Beth gave them when she got into her car.
I kind of thought about it a bit more, and I thought to myself, would I be annoyed if I was dressed as a character and then somebody else at a normal party dressed up as the same character as me? I think you probably would be a little bit put out. And if it was your actual wedding, you would be even more annoyed.
But it wasn't really the same character, was it? It was the same person. And Madonna's got so many characters, you can get away with it.
The thing is, though, if you were that bothered about it, wouldn't you have said to everybody, dress up as, but not Madonna?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she should have done that, really. I liked... Who was it that told...
She could show everyone her costume before, anyway, so...
Wasn't it, somebody tells Sally she could have dressed up as Maggie Thatcher or something earlier on this week as well.
They were all pop stars, and it's kind of a bit of a missed opportunity, really. Mm.
Well, so Sally has to then dash in to go and get dressed up as Dollar, and I think that was one of the first ones. I was like, I have got no idea what Dollar are. What do they look like? I don't know.
What are they for?
But I did like their costumes in the end. Oh, yeah, Gemma's found Madonna and Like a Virgin. I think that was who Beth was
supposed to be. It kind of looks the same.
Yeah, I thought that Sally and Tim's costumes are awesome, and Sally just was just like, this is what she actually looked like back in the 80s.
I know, it looked like she just is a time warp or something. She'd shifted through dimensions.
Kevin wasn't even in it in the end today, was he, with his purple shell suit? I wonder what that was all about.
That's a shame.
I wonder whether Michael couldn't make it to the filming or something. Anyway, what else? What other costumes were there?
George Michael.
Yeah, that looked like a proper homemade costume, didn't it? Sean could have been something a lot more fabulous. He could have been like...
What, more fabulous than George Michael? I don't think so.
He could have been a flashy David Bowie kind of...
What about 80s Queen?
Yeah, something like that. He could go Freddie Mercury or
something.
When
was that?
Yeah, that was in the 80s.
What was that, innuendo?
Innuendo, actually, I think that might have been the 90s. But I don't know. Anyway, it's not at all. He's in a bad mood because Billy is late and he wonders whether he's chickening out of the wedding. And I do wonder what the point of that was, really.
Oh, it's 1991 innuendo. Yeah, they probably wrote it in the 80s.
I thought it was just like, It was almost like Billy not turning up to the wedding. I mean, I don't really see the point of that. It was like, do they just not have anything for them to do? We get that Sean's unlucky in love, but we also think that Billy and Sean are good for each other, and I don't think that Billy would... He blamed God when he turned up at the end, didn't he? But, I mean, God didn't
stop
him from texting
him. That's just an easy excuse. Everyone's blaming God for everything these days. So, I don't know. That's not going anywhere with that one. I don't know. I thought maybe when... They must have like consulted C of E or, you know, people to do the gay vicar storyline. So maybe they said, yeah, under one condition, he can't go to any unusual wedding ceremonies, if you know what I mean. And they kind of got the wrong end of the stick.
Maybe. Anyway, over at the wedding ceremony, Beth arrives, but Julie comes out. Well, she looked really panicked, and I thought it was something about the cake or something first that Mary had dropped. But no, it's that Kirk isn't there. But she's like, that's okay, because he's probably stuck in traffic.
Oh, this is when
they
get to the actual
venue. When they're at the wedding venue, yeah. So obviously Beth starts panicking about this. So did you think that Kirk had kind of done a run or something then?
I thought he'd got himself in a scrape.
I also thought the timing of this isn't really going to work, because I'm sure they will get married today.
Yeah, but it's not going to be that. Whatever it is, it's not going to be a big deal, is what I was thinking.
Yeah. So Mary and Kirk's mum and dad turn up. And
the funny thing is, I didn't know that was Beth. That was who that was supposed to be.
I guessed that.
I thought they were there for a funeral.
I couldn't have told you what they looked like, but when they were in the scene, I was like, I think yeah, that's the same actors.
The reason I thought they were there for a funeral was because they both looked miserable as hell and they were dressed in terrible clothes.
And that was another example, like the Tinkers not knowing who Beth and Kirk and Chez were. She should have really known what Kirk's mum and dad looked like.
At least looked like.
Yeah.
So anyway, she starts berating them because she doesn't know who they are anyway.
Well, that's another thing. Why did she assume that they were coming to the wedding? Why didn't they think, well, maybe they're at another wedding
or just walking down the street? Yeah. So she says, oh, you haven't even dressed up. And they said, oh, we've just got off the plane. And then Maria says, oh, mum and dad. But why... I said this to you at the time. Why were they not dressed up? That's no excuse. You're allowed to wear costumes on a plane. And if you don't have enough time to get ready, get an earlier flight. It's your son's wedding.
Yeah.
Just because you don't like the theme doesn't mean that you can just not dress up.
They really should have done. I mean, they could have flown in the previous day already or something.
I know,
it's
selfish.
Which 80s characters could they have gone as?
I don't know.
Well, what big fat people were there in the 80s, basically, is what we're asking.
For the dad.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just me. I'm totally exhausted when it comes to the 80s now. Just like Tim and Sally, who dressed as Dollar and
become exhausted
overwhelmed
for other reasons, aren't they?
With passion at the sight of each other's Baker foil outfits that they collapse in passion on the sofa.
Yeah, Sally's got a new sofa, and that's the end of that storyline.
I thought you were going to say that's the end of the upholstery.
Could I? I hope it got Scotch guarded.
That's extra.
I thought that was just a funny little camera shot from behind the sofa. It was just like little teenagers, wasn't it?
I know, she pops up with a bra and goes, oh, we've missed the wedding. He minks.
I know. And they go in for another round.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Already missed it, haven't they? Now, Beth is still panicking that Kirk hasn't turned up. And Tracy is quite mean because she shouts at her, basically, and says it's your own fault because you haven't taken it seriously enough. And your theme has sent a message to the universe that you weren't taking it seriously.
Mm.
And I guess it's because she feels upset because she feels like Beth and Kirk haven't put in half as much effort as she put into her wedding.
Yeah.
But yet they're still having an amazing...
brilliant time, yeah.
So she wants to kind of get the knife in there.
I don't think she wanted to get the knife, and I think that means she was trying really hard to...
Not to be spiteful.
Yeah, to be nice to Beth all day, but I suppose it just would come
just
out a little bit, wouldn't
out.
It? Chez and Craig turn up then, and yeah, they say, Kirk has gone AWOL. So Beth has a little bit of a sad moment with Craig, and... Sinead saying, oh, we've probably missed their spot now because they've got these this lesbian couple getting married afterwards. But then Kirk turns up at the back of a van dressed like Adamant. And I'm glad they said it was Adamant because I would have no idea.
I kind of knew who it could have been out of like three or four androgynous kind of strange... Could have been David Bowie, I don't know.
Mm. But the thing was, he decided he thought he'd better make a bit more of an effort.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I like his little dance that he did at the steps and everything as well.
Yeah.
But
he played music and everything.
Yeah. The biggest cheer of the night, though, when we saw the registrar.
Yeah!
She's our favourite. recurring character. It's the same register. I thought it'd been ages since she was in it, but apparently she was at Carl and Stella's wedding last year.
Oh, really?
I forgot. I would have said it had been a good 5 years since she'd been in it, but no.
Bring in the registrar as a proper character. Would be just funny.
I can imagine, like, the registrar and the doctor in some kind of lesbian relationship or something.
I think it'd be funny if, like, say Coronation Street... Well, this would be tragic. Say Coronation Street ended, and then it turns out that all along, the registrar was some kind of international super secret spy whose cover was being a registrar and the most...
Every 3 or 4 years, she kind of listens in to us.
She gets her act in, but actually her life has been far more interesting than everything that's been going on in the
street
all these years.
Maybe registrar can have a spin-off or something.
What would you call it? The registrar.
But yeah, it's the same one. She was last in Stella and Carl's wedding, but she's been in like since 2003, maybe, I think, was her first appearance.
I'm surprised they didn't get her to come out and go, "You're going to miss your slot unless he turns up soon," one of the things that she usually...
She only had about one line for the whole episode, didn't she? I think we're building up this character a bit more.
Kirk, say your lines. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. That was basically it, wasn't it? And so,
because they have their own vows, don't they?
Yes.
But Beth's written hers, but Kirk hasn't done his.
But
like all fictional characters, when placed on the spot and they're not prepared, they manage to pull a heartfelt speech.
It wasn't that great a speech. It wasn't that much of a cliche. Usually it's like, "I'm not prepared, but here's the most amazing speech ever." And he was just like, "Oh, I love you, Beth.
I love you, Beth."
You're perfect.
And she cries with happiness because she's just blinded. I think she's been drugged.
It was really sweet. It's really, really sweet.
Now we go to the Rovers, to the reception. Of course we're at the reception at the Rovers because that's where everyone has their wedding reception.
Or the bistro.
Now, Julie and Mary are still sniping at each other, and Dev is dressed up as a Ghostbuster, and Julie accuses Mary of copying his costume, but it turns out she was just dressed as Sheena Easton.
We had no idea who that was.
I don't think you're supposed to know, but she did.
We probably are.
No, I don't think so.
Do you think that's one of like Mary's eclectic?
I think you would know who Sheena Easton was if you were an adult in the 80s, but the point of it was that she's dressed as obscurely, but she is copying Dev, but she's got a little alibi set up in case anyone asks her. I think that's the point.
You think she was copying Dev?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But anyway, I like Dev's costume, his little glasses and everything. I used to love the Ghostbusters when I was little.
Everyone loved the Ghostbusters.
Me and my friends used to play the Ghostbusters. I was always Winston Zeddemore.
I wonder who's going to be the female equivalent of that if they make an all-female version.
That's what they're supposed to be doing, isn't it?
I know, but who knows if they are actually going to do it.
So anyway, they have their dance and it's not all night long for some reason and nobody says, "Hang on a minute, you just change the song." What do they ever dance to in the end?
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't know music, do we? Anyway, that was that. And there was stuff with Steve, but we'll come back to that later. So after the break, Kirk's and Maria's mum and dad present them with plane tickets to Cyprus, which is where they live, which is great until they realise that they have to go and... Did they really live in a donkey sanctuary, or was Beth just being
I think they do, because obviously they used to own the kennels, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then I think that was a storyline, that they went to go live on a donkey sanctuary.
I can't remember, maybe you're remembering more than me for once.
Beth's not very happy about it, but no. I would love to stay on a donkey sanctuary.
I wouldn't like to have my honeymoon with my parents-in-law.
I know, but it's not a real honeymoon though, is it? It's a free holiday.
They haven't booked a proper honeymoon, have they? They didn't even know that we're going to do the night of the wedding.
Exactly. If they haven't booked anything else, it's a free holiday. They don't have to have this instead of a honeymoon. They can go on a honeymoon whenever they like. We're the only people I know who had a honeymoon right after the wedding.
Are we?
Nobody does that anymore.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I know, we did. What bloody holiday.
Well, Kirk has...
It's too much hard work.
Kirk is panicking outside the pub a bit later because of his speech, and then Luke turns up with a friendly face.
So... Kirk invites him in, but Luke says, "No, Maria won't want me in there."
Shut up, Maria.
And poor Kirk says, "Don't worry, it's my wedding."
Yeah, exactly. He reminds him. And basically, the rest of the episode, without a bit of storyline, is just people having fun or getting into arguments at the wedding. So there's all the Tinker women fawning over Dev, which fires Julie up a little bit. I suppose she's just kind of mad at Mary, but she takes it out on Arlene.
She shouts at the woman and then storms off. And then Dev follows her and says, "Oh, I really liked you defending my chivalry." And then she catches the bouquet later on, and Mary's face was just aghast.
I'd hope that Sinead would catch the bouquet. But yeah, Mary did have a good face when that happened.
Kirk and Beth have a little moment together because he's dolled up the smoking shelter as like a little fancy fairy grotto full of lights and stuff. And they have a dance to the real song all night long. And Kirk,
as long as he will give her the last chocolate.
Yeah, she says, can I have the last chocolate and all the last hot water and the last... you can, but if you choose to exercise this right for the rest of our life, don't expect me to be this happy about it. He says, I feel like a winner, and then they have a kiss.
Yeah, that was quite sweet, wasn't it? So the Sutherlands are getting a bit sozzled after later on in the episode, aren't they? Telling Beth about Kirk's first girlfriend, but Luke thinks they're talking about a dog.
Well, no, I think he knew they were talking about a girlfriend, he was putting them in their place.
Yeah, just making a joke.
It didn't work, though.
Maria then spots that Luke's there and gets annoyed that he even dared to enter the Rovers, but before long
then
they make
says,
up.
Then she says, I'm sorry, I was a raging cow, but they just wrote me to be
back.
Unreasonable.
Let's go back to our place. Yeah. Or my place, well, I don't know whose place they went to.
They went somewhere. Sally and Tim's...
What else happened? Julie's...
sofa.
We have Julie and Dev, Billy turns up. Oh, and then Tyrone says that they got a surprise. They go outside. I wonder what it was. It wasn't a big surprise. It's just the car.
Car that takes them to a hotel.
Oh, well, yeah.
With Carla's...
Yeah, that's nice.
Carla's
paid for them
to have a nice night at...
Hotel.
My boss didn't bought me anything like that.
No. And Sinead drives them off, and we both kind of thought...
How can
Sinead drive? We just assume that
most
she
people
can't.
On you just assume most of them don't know how to drive.
Because they don't have carriages, so they can't...
anywhere.
Sinead just strikes me as the type that can't drive.
Oh, I've never learned how to drive, mate. You don't need to, do you? There's trams that go everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. And there she can. And so that is the end of that storyline. So, as a whole, though, was the wedding... did it live up to your expectations?
Yes, I enjoyed it. It was nice and fun and lighthearted. And
I mean, it's going to stand out compared to lots of other weddings, isn't it? Because a lot of the others do blend into one. Like we were saying, oh, I don't really remember what happened to Gail and Joe's wedding.
Oh, yeah,
I don't remember.
The photos from this are going to go down well in Corrie.
I mean, I think I enjoyed it more than like Les and Cilla's wedding in a way, because I wasn't too fussed about the status quo stuff. But Les destroying the presents was quite funny, and Cilla's 666 on her forehead was probably even more iconic than anything that Beth or whatever was wearing today. But
only critique of it was that I thought that Beth overacted when Kirk didn't turn up, and she got too upset too quickly and emotional, and I thought she hammed it up too much.
Yes, that is true.
But I also think part of it was that the light was shining in her face.
Yeah, you said there was something funny with the lighting there, didn't you?
It just looked like she was squinting from the light, and it made her look even more bereft.
Mm.
And I just think that she knew that Kirk wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I guess so. I just enjoyed that this week had so much Tinkers in it, and that this is probably like all we're going to get all year. I can just imagine them barely featuring now for a good few months. It's been sad.
I don't think we'll see Grandma again. I think she's going to die so that Sinead can get her hands on
I really, really, really hope we'll see the Tinkers,
the
more
Tinkers
of the Tinkers
treasures.
Again. There's not really much reason for them to come back in again. And
it depends on how well they go down. If people really, really like them, they'll bring them back.
Yeah, they should, because they were
like
cast so
Uncle
well,
Umed,
I thought.
Umed or whatever his name was.
Was not. I like. I don't think many people
really?
Like Uncle Umed. I loved him.
And who were the two Grant? The two.
Ishma and Upma.
They were hilarious. I love them too.
They were Sunita's aunts, weren't they?
I think so. They're not
going to see them again. But the Tinkers were brilliant. And
well, no, they're still related to RD and Asher.
Oh yeah, that's true. Tinkers are brilliant, and I hope we see them again. They're just so well cast, and it looked like. I mean, it says something that the Nazirs have been kind of drip-fed in for a year, and already there's a new family that have come in, and we'd much rather that they probably kick the Nazirs out of number six and just moved in there.
Yeah, that'd actually be quite good.
They're just like proper Corrie caricatures, and like...
They are.
There's not that much of a chavvy family that much on Corrie anymore, is there? Like a comedy, Ogdens... Battersby's, that kind of thing, and I think that it could do with one. So anyway, I would like to see more of them.
Let's move on
to Steve and Michelle this week as well, wasn't they? Because she has got a new man in her life this week.
Well,
Hamish,
tell.
And he's not even Scottish.
He's not even Scottish. Which is for some reason described as a bonus, which I would be quite offended by if I was Scottish. So she has a breakfast meeting in the bistro with him, and she's never met him before, but he's having a party for his daughter's 16th.
Yeah, he seems very interested in the fact that she's just split up with her boyfriend.
He asks her out for a drink, and she says, oh, I'd like to, but I don't think it's a good idea, I'm just coming out of a relationship. And Eve says, oh, you're nuts, lady, he's really hot, and Steve's just a lazy slob, you should go for it.
Get
so she
there,
goes outside and she has a little ditzy chat with him, and then she doesn't even ask him out. She kind of like freaks herself out, comes back in and says, oh, I blew it, Hamish knew I was there to ask him out and I chickened out and now I've made an idiot of myself.
What do you think of the idea of Michelle and Hamish, or Michelle and anyone together?
Oh, well, if she does go out with Hamish, I do hope she buggers off and lives wherever he lives.
To be honest, this is some of the best I've seen Michelle for a long time, just because she was happy and she seemed relaxed with him, and they seemed like they had so
boring.
Much in common.
I don't care.
And I think it could be the making of it. I don't think anything will.
You want Hamish to be in it, though? Because who is he?
Well, I would be interested in finding out more about him.
Why?
He seemed like a nice guy.
Boring. And there's loads of nice people in it already.
And I just like the idea that Michelle would be equals with him as well, because with Steve, she just spends all the time nagging him because Steve asks for it half the time.
Yeah.
But with Hamish, she wouldn't be naggy. I don't think he would bring out her naggy side.
Do you think he would tidy up the front room all by himself without being asked?
Yeah, I think Hamish is being written as Mr. Perfect at the moment. But I mean, she's going
to
give him up
killer.
For Steve in the end, I'm sure.
Well, she's a bit worried about this because she thinks she's lost her sparkle and she can't flirt anymore. She doesn't even know if she fancies him because all of her romantic senses have been knocked out from years of going out with Steve. And she also tells Steve that Andrea is barely able to keep streetcars afloat because he's dumped them. He's dropped them in it, basically, and just left it for Lloyd to pick up the pieces when he comes back. And Lloyd is totally furious about it, but he's still stuck in Spain. Then Michelle goes off and tells Sean that he fancies.
I'm just going to say, this would be perfect for a Steve Lloyd Spain spin-off, because now Steve is going to Spain, isn't he? I know Spain's a bit of a big place, but now that Lloyd's in Spain, Steve's going
very
to Spain,
close
Liz
together,
is in
isn't
Spain.
It? I mean, there's only two big main cities, aren't there?
Barcelona
and the other
Madrid.
One. Yeah, so anyway, she tells Sean that she fancies someone, and that Sean says, oh, you've got to move on sometime, you should go for it. And then Sean goes off to tell Steve that he's breaking Michelle's heart, and if he doesn't move now, it's his final chance, really. So Michelle goes to Steve and says, oh, I might have met someone. What do you think? And he goes, oh, congratulations, and walks off. So that she just goes, right, fine, screw you, Steve.
She was hoping there that he would take that
as a hint
to say,
no,
don't do it, I
Michelle,
love
I love
you.
Here's that bracelet I bought you. So she phones Hamish up and invites him out for a drink.
Yeah, that's going to happen on Wednesday night, isn't it? At Streetcars on Wednesday night, it's very busy again, and all the customers are getting ratty with Michael over the phone because the taxis are going to take 15 minutes, which I don't think is that bad, actually, to be honest.
I've never once in my life phoned up a taxi company and said, I need one right now, you must come immediately.
I know, that's what they all seem to be over there at Streetcars.
No, I must leave at once, and I haven't planned ahead.
It's kind of like, I suppose it's like, in a nutshell, what happens when characters leave the street, isn't it? It's like, one day I'm in a normal storyline, next minute I'm off in New York.
I've got to go.
Got to go right now. So Michelle starts getting cold feet halfway through the episode, but Sean says, yeah, you need to forget about Steve, just go for it. And so she does, she's like, okay, I'm going to go and sneak out. But then Liz catches her on the way out, and she's...
Well, she's dressed up to the nines, isn't she?
Yeah, Liz is still holding on to the hope that her and Steve are going to get back together, and she thinks that if he sees that she's with someone else, that's just going to be like, devastate him, and he's going to go even worse.
Liz knows there's something wrong with Steve, and she's not quite sure what it is, and she thinks it might be Michelle, that he loves Michelle. Or she thinks that no matter what it is, Michelle is the one who can fix it. So she sees Michelle as Steve's last real hope for happiness.
Yeah.
So when she basically says, no, I'm going to go out with who I want, Liz gets really upset because she sees kind of...
This is really the first week, really, that Liz seems to have noticed that there's something properly wrong with him and he's not just being kind of lazy. Because up until now, they were just saying, oh, you just bone idle, get down here and everything. But you could see that at the end of the week, she was like, there is something wrong with him. He's not my boy anymore. So nobody said the words depressed yet, but it can't be too far away.
It's weird because in real life, if someone was like that, you'd be like, are you depressed or something? Or you're acting really miserable.
Mm.
You would have said all of these words that were used to describe this, yeah. But everyone's been so... It's almost like they want it to be a big reveal, but it's not like we don't know as viewers what's going on. So it's a bit weird.
Yeah. So Michelle and Hamish go and have this date, and he gets a bit annoyed at the end because Michelle mentioned Steve in it. It kind of cools the atmosphere a bit, but they agree to meet up again. And then when they're walking past the Rovers at the end, they see Steve outside there, and he kind of gives them a look and stops Michelle in their tracks. And this Hamish is like, I don't want to get in the middle of this. Is there any point in us seeing each other again? But she goes in for the snog. So everything's fine between them. And Steve had been in earlier having a bit of a joke about the two cars finances in front of Eileen and Andrew as well. But they don't think it's funny.
Not really, no. So on Friday, Liz is packing up to go to see Andy in Spain, and she kind of thinks that Michelle's going to look after Steve while she's not there. And Tony's like, I don't think that's going to happen. She's got other things to worry about.
Mm.
So Michelle goes to Steve and says, we've got something to talk about, haven't we? Because I went on a date and there's like an elephant in the room here. She gets a phone call, and he refuses to talk to her and says, oh, you should answer your phone. So she does and gets asked out on a date, which she agrees to go to, even though she's supposed to be helping with the wedding preparations. So she says to Steve, look, you deal with it. You sort it out. I'm going on a date. Even though it's my shift, bye, see you.
So he does at least show up down in the Rovers when they're
very, very briefly.
When the party, but he just can't cope with it. He's like sitting on the bar stool and can't even bring himself to get up to serve the drink. So he's like, oh, just help yourselves. So they think it's
brilliant.
They
literally start looting, don't they?
It's a bit sad, really, because...
It is horrible because they've taken complete advantage.
You would have thought that the residents by this time would have all kind of twigged for themselves that there's something not quite right with Steve. The storyline seems to be very kind of... what's the word, insular, it's not involving anyone else. Nobody else has said, oh, Steve, you are right. It's like Lloyd, Andrea, Liz.
Every scene.
Yeah, and he's like in charge of the focal point of the street. You'd have thought, yeah.
People would picked up on it by now. But no, they just start looting.
Yeah, result.
Poor Liz comes back. She's very happy because she's had a great day, but that is about to go completely sour because she finds everybody behind the bar. She starts shouting and they explain why they're there.
Get out from behind me bar!
And so she shouts up the stairs that she's looking for Steve, and if she finds him, she's going to kill him. So he comes back downstairs after the break.
That's another ear bashing.
Yeah. Hamish and Michelle have a date in the bistro, and he says he's in a band, and she says, oh, he's a singer.
I was in here, sorry.
How boring. Liz sees Steve sitting outside on his own, and she kind of leaves him alone. She finds Michelle going back to her flat, or Carl's flat, or whatever.
I guess it must be, yeah, she's the most.
And says, please give it another go with Steve, he needs you. And Michelle says, no, I'm moving on.
You could see, there were tears welling up in Liz's eyes, and that scene was like, this is my last chance. If there's something wrong with Steve, and you're the only one that can get him out of it.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. She goes back to the pub, Steve's there, he says, I'm sorry. And Liz says, right, you're coming to Spain with me.
He doesn't argue,
which upsets Liz even more because that's not the right reaction from Steve. And she sobs to Tony that he's not even recognisable anymore.
Yeah. So why do you think that Steve decided to go to Spain? Is it like get away from the troubles kind
Probably,
of thing?
Probably. Like, I'm miserable here. Let me go somewhere else. Anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, if he's in Spain, he doesn't have to think about his car, which is worrying him. He doesn't have to think about streetcars. He doesn't have to think, what's going to happen with streetcars? Because it's like left without a boss now. I'm assuming that Lloyd's not going to be back for a little bit.
Andrea's just going to have to deal with it, isn't she? Because, I mean, she works at the hotel, doesn't she?
Yeah, I've forgotten about that.
But as everyone knows, unless you work on the street, your job's not real.
Yeah, so it's basically Andrea, Eileen and Michael running the business for themselves.
I think there'd be a bit of book fiddling going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take a few quid out of the till to cover my wages.
If Steve does actually go to Spain, because they're going tomorrow, but on Coronation Street land, tomorrow on Friday means Monday, of course. So on Monday's episode, he could well.
No, maybe pull out of it. Maybe they'll just come back on Monday and said, oh no, I came back home early.
Oh yeah, it could have been like gone for a weekend or something.
They do let you back out again.
Yes.
Right, so. The final main storyline, and then there's a little bit we've got about...
Anna and Roy.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say that now. Okay, Anna's a complete cow in the cafe to Roy.
Anna keeps using his spatula, and then she says, I'm sorry I used your spatula, but I did it out of spite. And he's like, that's not compute.
People like me to me, usually, my friend. Or... Yeah.
So she's still not over
it. There wasn't any more of that, was there? She was such a git. So David, then...
David.
Michael's speaking with David on Monday's episode because he's found out that he's been over to Callum's house and he's like, oh, I know the area. That's a bit of a rough area. Don't go back there because you're like sensitive and you're a hairdresser and that. And you're only little.
Well, Audrey tells him the same thing and he walks
out. Well, yeah, you get fed up. Everyone's telling him that on Monday.
And Eva says, don't do anything daft. And he's like, no, I don't think so. I'm going to prove myself here.
He's like little Scrappy-Doo, isn't he?
He is, isn't he? He hates Scrappy-Doo. Yeah. So he goes on the phone to somebody and he says, so what happens now? You'll send someone round? I'll be in, waiting.
I
don't know if this was supposed to be some great big cliffhanger because it was obvious he was talking to the police.
When he says, so what happens now? You'll send someone round? I didn't know whether he was like sending out a hitman on Callum or something. But when he's like, I'll be in waiting, he's like, oh, it's just the police, isn't it?
It just seemed obvious. Audrey and Eva come in.
Just when the policemen are around.
Just when the police is there.
Yeah, so he shoos them away, doesn't he? And he says what happened. He basically tells them everything. Oh, no, he didn't mention the fact that he broke into Callum's flat, but pretty much all the rest of the story
he's saying about Callum and Kylie's gone missing and the drug dealer, ex-boyfriend, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they ask him for other names as well.
Yeah,
and then when the policemen go, the rest of the family ask him what's happened and they're worried about Callum coming to get revenge. But Nick says, at least, David, you didn't go after him yourself and you got the police to sort out, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah, he's like the only one that was on David's side on Monday, wasn't he? And they go off for a drink at the bistro there. And then Maria comes in halfway through to try and ruin their little brotherly bonding session because the Renshaw twins are waiting under the hairdryers. But Nick politely manhandles her out.
Now, Michael's supposed to be looking after Max after school because Gail is coming back from somewhere.
She's been in Italy, hasn't she, since seeing Sarah Lou?
That's right. And he gets a phone call to say that she's just arrived at the airport. And then Max pedals off to find Callum, who takes him away and says, oh, David said you can come to the Red Wreck with me. And Max goes, okay, let's go.
So, oh, man, he did give Max his bike. I mean, I think a young boy probably would trust him.
He's seen him in his house before, so he thinks that his is...
Yeah, that they're family friends, exactly. You can't blame him, really.
So, Michael discovers that Max is missing, goes a bit crazy, tells David and Nick. They're all panicking and running around. Gail and Audrey turn up right in the middle of all of this. And meanwhile, Callum is revealed to Max that he doesn't know where Kylie is either. And everyone's shocked in the watching because we all assumed that Kylie was holed up with Callum.
Apart from the fact that... Well, I don't know, the tension, the drama wasn't really there for me because we all know that Paul Elaine's not going to be in
it
for a little while.
I wasn't really expecting
that. They go off, but we know he's not going to find her, so just go away for a little bit, Callum, is what I'm thinking, to be honest.
He says, oh, she'll be back soon, and he looks worried, though. He knows that she's missing, too. So, David phones the police. Michael says that he might have gone to the school. David tells Nick that he reckons Callum's got him. And then Nick says, or maybe Kylie's behind it. And then they start looking around the streets. And then eventually Callum turns up with Max.
Buttonburger.
Brought him back.
Audrey says, phone the police about it, but David won't let him.
Audrey thinks that he's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he did. He did get kidnapped, didn't he? Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally kidnapped. Nick stops David from attacking Callum, which was hilarious. I would have let him just to see what would happen. And then Callum says, look, I'll meet you at the Rovers. So, okay. They go and have a drink together, and Callum tells David, you can't look after my son, and you better watch yourself, and you better not come around my house again. And also, I haven't seen Kylie, so you can leave me alone.
Yes, which gives David his little mission. He's now determined to find Kylie, get her clean, and bring her home. But Callum's like, not if I find her first. So the chase is on. Who's going to find her first? Nobody for a little while. But...
Yep, and that's it, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
The police know that she's not there. They confirm that she's not there.
And we got a nice little mention of Becky, didn't we, on Wednesday's
Becky
episode?
Becky doesn't know
where she is either.
She's living in the past with Mr. Selfridge.
Yep. So that was it for Coronation Street this week. I thought it was a very good week this week because I like the Kirk storyline, I like the Steve storyline, and even the stuff with Max was quite fun as well on Monday. So well done, Coronation Street. Character of the week.
Oh, God.
Never think about it. I don't know whether I can just say the Tinkers Collective.
Tinkers Collective? Now, that sounds like an 80s band.
But maybe that wasn't.
Probably just Beth.
Yeah, I'd say so,
just
Beth.
Just probably Beth.
We agree with each other too much.
You've got to have a... You got to pick the bride, haven't you?
Yeah. Not Kurt, life. Because he was a bit too miserable partway through the week. Yeah. But he did pull it out of the bag at the end, I suppose. And there we go. Beth, I thought she did a good job. And it's sad that we won't see much more Tinkers, because that is their storyline for the decade, I think.
They might turn up again.
Right. Let's move on now to our character profile. It's character profile time. We're on to our last... We're probably in single digits of how many kind of long-standing characters we can do on our character profiles. But they seem to just write Coronation Street just for us, because we haven't done Kirk yet. So that's who we're doing today, Kirk Sutherland. And I tell you what, it was a bit arduous trying to do the research for him, because considering that he's been in the show since 2000, the Corypedia page and his Wikipedia page are a little inadequate. So,
Did you get quite a lot of stuff? Because I'm quite tired.
I managed to get quite a lot of stuff in the end, because there's not much on his Corypedia page, but I was like going back to I had to look at the list of episodes that he'd appeared in. I was like clicking on random ones to see if it was in the middle of a storyline, so I managed to get a little bit more. I think I should get a... Can I edit Corypedia? Can anyone edit Corypedia?
I haven't got time to do that. Of a wiki was that anyone could do it.
Why hasn't anybody made a Corypedia page about Conversation Street yet? They've got a... page about everything else. We should make our own Corypedia page. Anyway.
I think somebody made a page about me once, but I deleted it.
Oh. What did it say?
It was just about my job.
Not on Corypedia, though.
Not on Corypedia, darling. On the actual Wikipedia.
The actual internet. Let's talk about Kirk. He was born on the 28th of January, 1982, which makes him a bit older than us, both of us. And his parents were Eric and Dot Sutherland, who we saw today. He's got their sister, Maria Connor, and Kirk... The character of Kirk first appeared on the 22nd of May 2000, but then he was played by a walk-on actor, and there's a little picture of that on his Corypedia page. He looked completely different, but he looked just as dopey. But Andy Wyman first started playing him 6 months or so later, on the 22nd of October that year. He's been in 978 episodes so far, and he is, in Corrie history, the 55th most featured character, and the 22nd longest-running current character, which is actually... makes me think, wow, there's been quite a lot of people that have been there longer, because Kirk's been a pretty long-standing character in my eyes.
I know. So I was thinking
the fact that there's 21 characters that are in it at the moment that have been in it longer than him.
The top 10, can they?
No, they can't. He is played by Andy Wyman. I couldn't find anything about his casting or anything, and as far as I know, we don't know very much about his childhood, apart from he had a girlfriend with long brown hair and doe eyes, which we discovered today.
Exactly, you should put this in.
That is now in there. So, in 2000, Tyrone, who fancied Maria at the time, spotted her on the red wreck with a mystery man. This was the walk-on actor, and he was gutted. But she says, it's okay, it was just my brother Kirk that I was with.
And real Kirk turned up at the engagement party in October, which is when Andy Wyman...
Yes, when Tyrone and Maria got engaged. So that, he didn't do very much in 2000, basically. In 2001, I suppose this wasn't really even a storyline, but he got into a little bit of a scrape with Jason because he was egging him on to make a move on Sally Webster. So I think Sally at the time ran the hardware store where the kebab shop is now, and I think Jason was doing some work there, and he got it into his head that Sally fancied him because he used to go round to all the MILFs of Weatherfield. and Sally was one back then.
That sounds like a sort of Corrie spin-off after night show.
MILFs of Weatherfield. But anyway, yeah, he comes on to Sally, Jason does, and she rejects him and laughs at him. So he gets a bit annoyed about Kirk and the others for doing that. Also, later in 2001, he went to a party with Fizz, but she was more interested in Tyrone. So Kirk is trying to make his moves on Fizz, but by the end of the night, Fizz was snogging Tyrone, and Kirk reported this to Maria, who was devastated, because obviously she was going out with Tyrone at the time.
In 2002, on a trip to Blackpool, Kirk and Jason got seduced, and they were taken back to a caravan by two women after they won £200, and Kirk ends up bedding the older one, who was called Carol.
Yes, this is Kirk losing his virginity to an older woman.
Well, more experience.
Yeah.
He beds Fizz, and they start dating, because he obviously learned some moves off Carol.
A lot of Kirk's kind of romantic conquests have been older women, haven't they? Because there's this Carol, there was Julie, there's Beth.
Yeah, I know. He's certainly got a type, hasn't he?
Yeah. Mother figure.
Kirk and Les had to pretend to be a housing officer.
Oh, no.
Had to pretend to a housing officer that they were a couple, because he was going to be evicted otherwise, so they had to pretend to be... And it's very daring in 2002, you know. We barely knew that gays existed back then.
They did, because Sean had been in it for a bit. I wonder whether they'd even do that nowadays, whether they'd get into trouble even more.
The thing is, it's like, oh, it's funny because they're gay and you get it.
They had things where they were like cleaning away or hiding away all of like the manly things around the house that Les would have had, and then they were like putting the potpourri out and everything It was funny at the time.
Gays don't like football.
Yeah, so it was a bit un-PC.
It's dated.
Wasn't it?
It's very dated. In 2004, he split up with Fizz because he thinks she slept with Tyrone. She would never do such a thing.
No, I don't think she had.
And then they ended up having Tyrone and Kirk had a little bit of a rivalry to win Fizz back, and that included Kirk serenading Fizz outside her window with the song, the romantic classic, The Real Slim Shady.
That was funny, because he was like, Fizz was up in, I think it was like the flat above the salon or something, and he was like, oh, I'm going to sing you our song, and it was like building up like it was going to be a big romantic moment. He did that. It was quite funny, but then, as he was doing that, I think Tyrone sort of popped his head out of the window as well. He was up there with Fizz.
Oh,
and then
dear.
Kirk did his sad face.
Oh, sad face, Kirk. And then he stole an engagement ring to give to Fizz, but he had to give himself up, and he got a caution.
Yes. By 2005, he was back with Fizz again. And then, because he was working in his parents' kennels, he became a regular poodle shampooer to belly dancer Thelma Clegg, and that got Fizz a bit jealous, because he would go around there to shampoo her poodle, and she'd put on like belly dancing shows for him, and because he's a bit dopey, he was like, didn't know what to say to turn her down.
Maybe she's just like me, and when you learn a good belly dancing move, you want to show everybody.
Yeah, Gemma used to do belly dancing.
I used to do. I gave it up because I was too good.
Yeah, so she and Sean go around there, and they like stare through the window, and she can see like the back of Kirk's head, and then this belly dancer
gyrating
Kirk's
again,
yeah. And then as the audience, we see Kirk's the front of his face. He's like, he doesn't know what's going on. But anyway, she apologises to Kirk, but then blows it.
He blows it
by saying that housewives are bound to fancy me sometimes. He never knows the right thing to say, does he?
Well, Beth thinks he does. That's what she told him today. So I think they should stay together forever so that Kirk can't put his foot in it.
Well, when he told Beth that she smelt like a wet top of a dog's head or something, didn't he, once that time a few years ago, and she thought
that
was...
I think she thought that was nice.
Yeah, exactly. I think she thought it was nice in the end of the day.
Now, he took over the kennels when his parents moved to Spain, which is not the same as where they are
now.
Not
the same as Cyprus, no.
No. And there's a new kennel maid called Molly. And she tries to seduce him, and then she convinces him that Fizz is a bully and starts telling all these horrible lies about poor Fizz. And then
it wasn't lies at the time. I don't think it was.
She remembered her from when she was a kid, and Fizz was horrible to her when she was a kid, and she still thinks that Fizz is the same. And
I think you would, though, wouldn't you? Like, if you were to meet somebody that you hadn't seen for 5-6 years and they were like a bully at school, you would kind of resent them for it still.
You would resent it, but would you try to turn their friends against them without...
Well,
any,
no. Molly was a bit of a minx, wasn't she?
She was. She was a husband-stealing
minx. So she
and
manages...
And jogging.
Yes. She managed to convince Kirk to dump Fizz.
It shouldn't be that easy, is my argument.
Yeah, yeah. She gets frustrated with him talking about Molly all the time. Because he can imagine he didn't realise at all. He was just saying, oh, today me and Molly did this at the kennels and everything. And so she gets fed up.
Fizz punches him in the face.
Yeah.
And then Fizz punches Molly... And then apologises, and Kirk overhears this.
Fizz feels bad about it, so Kirk's like, oh, Fizz isn't too bad after all, because at least you said sorry.
The sensible response to anybody in this situation would have been like, you're both crazy, keep the hell away from me. Not, oh well, I'll be friends with you both now.
Yeah. In 2006, it was on and off. I mean, he was dumped by Fizz for a little bit. She felt that she was stuck in a rut with him. But they were back together later on. He started giving her driving lessons, but then they rowed about it. So he got back in her good books by buying her a scooter for her birthday. Do you remember Fizz on her scooter?
Yeah,
that was funny.
Scooter Fizz.
Yeah, I think when he got her, everyone thought that he was crazy for it, but she actually liked it in the end. Did you like Fizz and Kirk as a couple? Do you think she's better suited to him or Tyrone?
Sometimes I get confused and forget who is Kirk's sister out of Fizz and Maria.
They had lots of storylines together, don't they? Because neither Maria nor Fizz are particularly like her, can't
I? I have this kind of romantic amnesia on Coronation Street, whereby I can never remember who went out with who. Because they've dated, everyone's dated everybody, and I always forget who's...
I know definitely at some point in my life I've thought, oh, maybe Kirk should go out with Maria because they're the same age.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that much to do with each other, do they?
And they don't look alike.
It's because they don't like live with their parents. The Sutherlands aren't on the streets. They never have many family get-togethers or anything, no. But I did quite like Kirk and Fizz together. But I think now she is better suited to Tyrone.
Tyrone is her man, I think.
Yeah.
In 2007, Kirk had to sell the business because he accidentally let a vet castrate a pedigree dog.
Whoops.
He proposed to Fizz, but she dumped him. And then she started seeing John Stay.
Yeah, somebody better came along, a teacher.
He was very heroic. He rescued Claire Peacock from a house fire. And then Ashley offered him a job in the butchers. And I think this is where Kirk's forte lie, because I thought that him in the butchers was the perfect job for him.
Yeah, just like cleaver in hands, chop,
yeah,
chop,
just
chop.
Like, oh, do you like any burgers today?
Yeah.
Him and Ashley in the butchers together.
Yeah, they made a good double act, didn't they?
You know how sometimes don't you wish that you could just kind of like take all these kind of duos or like businesses or whatever from throughout Corey history and just put them together to one perfect Coronation Street.
Yeah, these are going to be in the butcher shop.
She's going to be the
landlady of your
exactly.
Rovers.
And, like, yeah, Rita's in charge of the cabin.
Yeah, Rita and Mavis in the cabin.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ashley and Kurt, they were funny. Because, I mean, Ashley's not exactly the brightest light bulb in the bush.
The brightest light bulb in the box.
But I mean, even compared to Kirk,
he was a genius.
Yeah, Einsteinian. So there are lots of funny scenes there. What was the other one? Boris was the other person that used to work in the butchers as well. He was like the fat friend. Well, not quite a fat friend because he did appear in it sometimes. But and I think he was even thicker than Kirk. It was like...
Yeah.
So Scylla left Chesney by the end of 2007 because she went to Las Vegas to live. And
can't take Chesney to Las Vegas.
She wanted some alone time. She said that she would send for him later, but she never did. So Kirk was put in charge of Chesney. And
this
Kirk
was quite
could barely
sad
look after himself.
Because he was trying really hard and Chesney was trying really hard, but Chesney was far more up on what needed to be done than Kirk was.
Yeah, because Ches was just a little teenager back then, wasn't he?
He
wasn't, I don't think he must have been 16.
No, he wasn't old enough.
Yeah, they were mates because Kirk is so childlike himself, isn't he?
It was kind of like Big, where, you know, where Tom Hanks is grown up and he's got his little friend. And it's like they're both kids and they can't cope by themselves. And eventually Chesney had to get put into foster care. And it was really sad because Kirk did try his best to look after him, but it wasn't good enough.
That's why I worry that if Fizz and Kirk ever have a baby, I don't know whether Kirk would actually be able to look after it.
I don't think Fizz and Kirk will
Not
have
Fizz
a baby.
And Kirk. I get the names wrong again. Beth and Kirk have a baby. I don't think
he'd they'll write him as a good father.
I suppose if you start from the beginning rather than just
having
him dumped on
you. Yeah, you've got to start from the beginning.
Get used to it.
And you also have to have someone else to help you.
Yeah. But anyway, Fizz got Chesney back from the foster home, but she had to move in because she knew that Kirk just couldn't cope.
See, this is another thing where I think that Fizz, Kirk and Chesney together in a house just makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it just anyone who lives in that house basically at the moment, isn't it? That's just where the funny families go.
2008, he went to see his parents who've now moved to Cyprus, and then Fizz is worried when he comes back he's going to try and rekindle things, but actually he comes back with his new girlfriend, Julie Karp.
Yeah, he starts talking about her, doesn't he? I know, I can't remember what it is, whether either he's telling people in the Rovers about this amazing girlfriend and then Julie turns up and people are surprised because she's older than him, or maybe Julie comes into the Rovers and is like, oh, I'm here to meet my man. We've just met on holiday. He's such a dreamboat. And then Kirk comes in.
I think that was probably it.
Well,
if it didn't, that's how it should have happened.
I didn't like the idea of those two together. I didn't think they were a particularly good pairing at all.
I wasn't sure. I don't know if I liked Julie at the time either.
No.
I think I thought she was cool, but there was something weird about the fact that she thought that Kirk was so fantastic.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
In many ways, there's not a huge difference between Julie and Beth, but yeah, Julie just didn't... She seemed like she
Beth's
was just the mum to him.
Down to earth, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah. He was a Julie moves in with him as well. Later in the year, Maria...
Had a bad time, didn't she?
Stillborn child.
And then Liam, her husband... died.
Yeah, so Kirk had to be a good brother. And I think they do I like it when they do have these rare scenes where Kirk has to like stand up for Maria or sort of act like an older brother to her.
He can stand up for people, doesn't he? And he's kind of like, he gets a bit, he's kind of a bit like Roy sometimes, where he gets riled up.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to get scared of, I mean, if...
He's not intimidated by anybody.
No, because he's always not bright enough to understand the consequences of things.
Also, because he's so brawny from lugging all those...
Oh, those heavy boxes around there, yeah. He was also in 2008 part of the Out of Africa DVD, which we talked about recently when we did Scylla's character profile. So he has to, she's trying to win this competition to be like the best family in Africa or something, and claims that Kirk is her mentally disabled son to try and win this competition. That's also not PC.
Not really.
2009, Julie thought she was pregnant, but it is a false alarm. We now know that
we
Julie
now
can't,
know.
Have,
she
a
can't
baby.
Have children.
And the couple just kind of drifted apart back then, and surprisingly, he was the one that ended the relationship, so he made the mature decision and realised that they weren't really suited to each other.
Right.
He packed his bags because he thought that he was in the way of Fizz, who was still living there, and they made a quite a funny scene about him saying, "I'm going to go off, I'm going to move on, it's time for me to move out of here," and he walked out the door, went next door to Maria's house. So he hadn't moved far.
Didn't really, know.
So he had the next romantic conquest for Kirk in 2010, which
was... He brings in quite a lot of people, although Izzy would have come in anyway.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Izzy and Julie.
Yeah.
And Molly, I suppose, in a way. Izzy Armstrong, her first appearance was because of Kirk. Thanks, Kirk. They meet through online dating, but she's not interested in him because when he puts his profile picture online, he puts a picture of Jason. Ah, so that's twice then that there's been this mix-up between Kirk and Jason, or somebody thought that Jason was Kirk.
And then there was disappointed.
Disappointment all the way around. And so she's like, no, I'm not going to have a date with you, lied about it. So they have a bit of a spat, and they also have to compete with each other for a job at Underworld. But they end up both getting the position, so Izzy gets to sew, and Kirk gets to stack boxes. That is his forte in life, because that was... That must have been when Ashley had sold the butchers, because they were going to move to France, weren't they, him and Claire, before the tram crash. So Kirk had to get a new job. He tried to win Izzy's affections, though, because even though she was mad at him, he still fancied her. So he took the blame when
Gary
was arrested.
Tell you what, if he fancies her when she gets mad, then I'm surprised he hasn't been chasing her all this time.
Yeah, because she was making eyes at Gary all this time, and Gary had...
Been arrested
because he'd assaulted some guy who'd been hassling Izzy about being in a wheelchair. So then Kirk then took the blame for it at the police station because he thought, oh, this will make Izzy fall in love with me. But actually, it just brought Izzy and Gary closer.
Whoops.
And it only took 5 years, 4 years. I wonder if he hadn't met Beth, whether he'd try to get back in there with Izzy. They don't have anything to do with each other now, do they?
You wouldn't even
at
know
at all,
they knew
Kirk
each other.
And Isabel, no. Isabel, Izzy. What happened in 2011, Gemma?
Well,
not very much. Do you remember this? I don't remember this.
I don't know who Leon is. That, how do you say his name? Southern. You've written to Anthony got bored.
There was a tiny storyline in 2011 where there was a drug dealer called Leon, and his girlfriend was causing trouble for Fizz in prison, because that was a weird thing that happened then. Fizz went to prison. So along with Tyrone, Gary and Tommy, Kirk kidnapped him and held him hostage in the butcher shop's fridge. And that, I remembered that when I read it, but I'd completely forgotten about it. Do you remember them keeping someone hostage in the fridge? Gemma shakes her head.
Norris finds him and Citizen arrests him.
Yes.
Who?
Leon.
Why? What, for being in a fridge?
Yeah.
And then he gets sent to jail for being in breach of his parole, which seems completely unfair to poor Leon.
Yeah. Oh,
justice
well.
For Leon.
He's a drug dealer anyway.
Naughty man. In 2012, he started seeing Beth after he rescued her from a date that turned sour.
Yeah, Beth had gone to online dating or someone, and he was insulted her for being fat or something. So Kirk saved the day.
And he said to her, "I could sniff you all day and never get bored. You smell better than a pie." And in case you were having romantic notions, American and Canadian listeners, because we're British, he probably means a meat pie.
Yeah, not like a lovely, tasty sweet pie.
We don't really talk about fruit pies that much.
Not as much as Americans seem to.
And if you say pie, you almost always mean a savoury pie, whereas in America, I think you'd almost always mean a sweet pie.
Yeah.
In England, if you want to say... a particular fruit pie, you would say apple pie or something, wouldn't you? You would actually say apple pie, you wouldn't
say
pie.
In 2013, he was upset to find out that Beth had been dishonest in trying to win the Employee of the Month award at the factory. She enlisted Sinead to try and stitch some knickers for her, and then she was taking them home to do as well. So I was quite surprised that he almost disowned her, he almost dumped her because of it, because he's quite morally upstanding as Kirk. But he got back in her, she got back in his good books by cooking him his favourite special tea, a tin of condensed tomato soup, tin of tuna, tin of peas, all mixed in the same pan with crisps dunked in. Mm-mm-mm. And then that brings us up to last year when he proposed to Beth because he thought that she may have started to go off him. And that is everything that happened to Kirk. 14 years of being a bit part, I suppose. But is that how he's best, do you think?
You don't want the comedy characters to be too big.
I'd like to see him tackle a serious storyline just to see if he could, but I'm not sure whether he could or not. But I just like to see him in it a little bit more because I always enjoy seeing Kirk on the show, and it's I've really enjoyed having the Tinkers in it now. Now he almost most of those storylines didn't happen because Andy Wyman actually quit Coronation Street in 2003 because he wanted to star in the reboot of the Carry On films. They were going to make Carry On London, and Andy Wyman, a bit of a comic actor, thought he'd sign up for it. But luckily for us, that didn't happen. The scripts were delayed, things didn't look hopeful, so he returned to Coronation Street for a £60,000 deal, and I bet he's glad he did. He hasn't had many awards. He got a Best Comedy Performance in 2003 and 2004 in the British Soap Awards and the Inside Soap Awards, but he's been sadly neglected by since then, and I think that's one of the sad things that happens to the bit characters. I mean, nowadays you get Norris and Steve and that lot that are nominated for the Comedy Awards, but actually Kirk does have quite a lot of funny lines, and maybe this year, because of this wedding storyline, he'll get some nominations. Can only hope. And I think now he does want to stay in Curry for forever. He said in 2012, when he was doing Dancing on Ice, "I've been acting since I was 8, but with Curry I will stay there as long as they'll have me. I'm into my 11th year and it's a great show. I'd love it to be my job for life. I've got so many close friends there. It's 25 minutes from where I live, so I'm at home every night. It's a fantastic job. I've always loved playing Kirk."
What a bizarre thing to say.
What?
That it's 25 minutes from where you live.
You just rock up there. But
if job in Coronation Street, I would move nearer it.
Not everyone does, though. Like, Dev lives in London, doesn't
he? But the thing is, though, I can understand saying, yeah, I've got a job in City Centre and it's really handy because it's only 20 shops. Minutes from where I live. But not a job like Coronation Street. You don't describe it in relation to its geographical distance from your home as part of the perks.
Well,
when you say something like the £60,000 a year is pretty bloody good, and the fact that I get to do stuff like this because people care about me just because of my job,
yeah.
Maybe it was a joke.
I don't know. I just picked a random quote from an interview from when he did Dancing on Ice. I thought it was
just
quite
seems
a good
like
one.
Such a weird thing to say about being in a on television.
Yeah,
it's like he went. If it had been half an hour, I might not have gone for it.
Yeah, I just hope that the new Media City is closer to him, otherwise he's...
Wow, he's obviously not really considered moving, is he?
Do you think they ever will get rid of Kirk? Because I think people sometimes, when they say, oh, clear the dead wood, his name does get brought up sometime, along with, like, Maria, I suppose.
I think there's certainly a lot more people I'd get rid of before Kirk.
Yeah, because I suppose they need that kind of character, don't they? I mean, he's harmless enough. I don't know how much Andy Wyman is a drain on the Curry budget. I assume he doesn't get paid Barbara Knox level of salary or anything.
He must have had a pay rise since that.
Yeah, he must have done. But they could get rid of him. They could get rid of him and it would barely change the show. That's the sad thing, isn't it? I mean,
there's loads of them like that.
Yeah, but I just hope that they do keep him.
Well, they
drop him in every now and again.
Well, there's no reason to say they'd get rid of him.
Keep us entertained with his funny lines and his thickness.
Shall we move on to the news?
Yes, let's do that. So, we'll start off the news just with a quick plea. Coronation Street is up for Best Serial Drama in the National Television Awards, and that's all it's nominated for this year. I haven't voted yet, but it doesn't mean you can't. If you go to www.nationaltvawards.com/vote, then you can vote for Coronation Street as the best soap This is happening in a few weeks because January is always the time where they have the big storylines to try and convince people to vote. So you never know, this year could do it. There's also a good video online where they showed the highlights of 2014. I didn't show you that in the end, did I?
No.
Maybe I'll show you it
later. I have
later.
Been busy this
you week. Have, it's been deadline week for Gemma this week.
It's post-Christmas deadline week.
Yes, very busy. We're not going to be too busy to vote. We're going to vote for Coronation Street. And never know.
I don't believe in democracy, so I'm not going to vote.
I know EastEnders is apparently going through quite a good patch at the moment because of the Who Killed Lucy thing that's going on. And Hollyoaks was on a roll last year as well. But you never know. Maybe Corrie will win. But you won't if you vote. Don't vote for it. So please vote. Now, something else that you might like to get involved in, moving on to our second storyline of the night, is the petition to save the old Coronation Street. And this was mentioned on the Corrie blog earlier this week, and it piqued my interest. There's the website change.org, which it seems to be somewhere that you can just like get people to sign petitions.
What do you mean it seems to be? It's a very famous petition site where people can...
I've never heard of it before.
Are you joking? You don't look at my Facebook then, do you?
Maybe.
No, you don't. Now, Julie Cusimano, yes. I think that's how you say it.
I expect so.
She has started a petition on change.org to save the old street, the old set, which I agree with.
I'm glad they're doing something about it.
We should...
I didn't do it because I hadn't heard of change.org. I blame you.
Okay.
They're saying, we call upon Manchester Keys Limited to amend the St John's Quarter regeneration framework so that the most iconic part of Coronation Street set is retained as described later in this document. They call on Manchester City Council not to approve the framework without such amendment and ITV to modify any legal condition they may have made when selling their lands that would prevent such amendment.
Actually, I know now why I didn't write this, because I couldn't have written any of this stuff.
If you have a look at it,
legal.
I had a look down it, and there's a really well written, legal sounding document with all different suggestions
impressive.
And everything. It's better than I could write.
Well done, Julia.
This is all to do with, so they're going to close it. They're going to obviously close it down at the end of the year. I can't remember whether we mentioned it on the podcast before,
yes,
but they want
we
to
did.
The very bit where Coronation Street is, they want to turn into this factory performing arts kind of thing, wasn't that? I don't
yes.
remember. But there's some flats and things they're going to build.
I think it will do more for the cultural history and, well, the culture of this country, if you're going to talk about performing arts, to save the Coronation Street set than it would do to build a performing arts centre, because a performing arts centre can be built anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll have like a plaque or something if they do put it up there.
They don't need to keep all the inside stuff.
All they need to do is
keep the outside stuff.
Well, even this was saying, well, maybe they're saying at minimum the Rovers should be kept, because that is the iconic image, isn't it? If you're going to keep anything, keep the Rovers. And then they said, well, maybe they could just make it into real roads. I mean, get rid of all the Rosamond Street and everything, because it does take up a fair amount of space. Just turn it into
keep
a proper street. With a pub on. And then they said, well, either they could like have the houses, keep them the same, and then like have other business offices inside, or they could extend it as a pub and actually have it as a working real pub. I mean, people would snap that up, wouldn't they, if you got a chance to buy the Rovers and open it. I mean, everyone would flock there.
This whole thing, just I've said all along from the beginning that getting rid of it is stupid and short-sighted and actually really selfish.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not saying to keep it as the Granada Studios kind of tour.
No, it doesn't need to be a tour. It just needs to not be chucked away. It's one of these things that I think, you know, sometimes when you're reading like an article or something and it says, and this iconic building was destroyed in 1962 to make way for a Woolworths. And you think, why the hell did they do that? What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, or it's like when they deleted all like the past Doctor Who's or whatever. They thought nobody's
no
going to want
to
watch these.
Well, we are interested now. So
yeah, it's crazy.
If you feel as strongly about it as me, or maybe even just slightly strongly about it, you can sign the petition and we'll put a link to it.
Yeah, if you go to change.org and then search for Coronation Street, then you can it'll bring up a load of results. Quite a few of the results, if you type Coronation Street, are remove Stuart Blackburn as producer from Coronation Street. The third result down, I think, when I looked at it, was this one, and I think they were looking for, I can't remember whether it was 500 or 1,000 signatures or whatever, but I signed it the other day, and I implore you to do the same.
Really, really, I really think it's important.
Online petitions, I don't know how often they work, but I mean, it'll send a message to the Manchester Council anyway.
I mean, it's nothing like the government website where they actually have to, you know, it's actually going to be read by somebody and somebody might do something about it. It's perfectly possible that no one's going to even read this, but I still think if there's even a small chance that it could work...
I think it's the kind of petition as well, that if enough people hear about it, then it would get loads of signatures.
I hope that the Corrie actors and stuff get behind it, but maybe there's other political behind-the-scenes stuff where they don't...
Well, it probably is, because ITV don't own it anymore, do they? So the old cast are probably not allowed to...
Well, ITV, we heard, don't want there to be two sets.
No, because this one, it starts to look different from how it looks on screen. And even if they kept the Rovers, it'd look different, wouldn't it?
There should only ever be one Coronation Street.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a bit of one of these weird lovey superstitions about not saying Macbeth and stuff, don't you think?
Yes.
Anyway, that's that.
Yeah.
That's that.
Do sign it and tell other people to sign it as well.
Spread it.
They just around. If ITV really did get into it, they could like put something at the end of an episode, if you want to save the old Coronation Street set, but
they don't want to save it. They don't care. They're not interested. It's not their problem.
Spread the word, people.
I just think it's a really important part of Britain's cultural history and the world's history too, because it's the oldest running drama. I know it's not the original set, but that's because they demolished the original set. They make the same mistake again. Yeah. That's just silly, that is.
Next little mini news
article.
Even more
exciting, Kim Marsh is engaged again.
Hooray!
Another celebrity wedding is approaching.
To Dan Hooper, her fiancé of 10 months, but they've made such a connection, they're going to get married.
Oh, wow.
So well done to them. They're on the front of some magazine or something.
Wow. Didn't it?
Yeah. I don't have any problem with Kim Marsh, it's just Michelle I don't like. So
oh, no,
I wish you
Kim
the very
Marsh
best, Michelle.
Kim Marsh. Lovely young woman.
Yes.
Ken Morley.
He's on Big Brother.
He's not a perfectly lovely young woman.
Gemma doesn't like Ken Morley. He used to play Reg Holdsworth in Coronation Street. And we flicked on Celebrity Big Brother the other night, because we always watch the launches of them. And he came stumbling down the
catwalk.
Almost
instantly. It's like you knew he was going to be on it.
He was actually. He was on when I switched on, wasn't
he? He was on.
I got the sense.
I would like to just say, I don't hate Ken Morley. I just dislike the way he portrayed himself in an episode of a reality television programme.
Come
that I
home with
in.
Me, you watched him.
And he just came off as a giant...
Lech.
He's talking about Celebrity Big Brother here. He said, I'm a virgin because I haven't seen the show.
Yeah,
totally,
totally
misunderstanding the definition of the word virgin there. He says, working the way I have been, I've only managed to get snatches of it. Little bits and snippets of people threatening each other and committing verbal violence, which is, you know, not unattractive. But I really don't know what the format is, so I'm walking through the gates either to heaven or hell, I assume.
Yeah, I cut that off. I don't believe it when people say
I
don't know.
I was about to say that exact same thing. I think they just think, I'm going to get out of jail free card here. I'm just going to say I don't know what I'm getting into. So if I don't like it, I can say it's not what I thought it was going to be like. Or I can act like an idiot.
When we watched the episode and everyone else was coming in afterwards, he did seem like he didn't know what he'd got himself in for. Because when he came onto the catwalk and he was speaking to the presenter there, he seemed quite confident. He was making jokes and everything and being a bit weird like Ken Morley is. But then when he was inside the house with all these people that were 50 years younger than him...
Imagine how that would be.
He's like 72, I think I read. He was just sitting down there and he didn't... particularly, he kind of got up to shake the hand of people when they came in and just sat back down again.
Wouldn't
like observing them going, what was this?
Can you imagine if you got put into like a residential holiday camp or something and you got in there and everyone was like 18, you'd be like, get me out now.
I think that's probably what he must be thinking.
I mean,
because everyone else is much younger.
The age difference between us and an 18-year-old is not the same as between a 72-year-old and a 25-year-old.
And we're not kind of clubby kind
it's
of
it's not
people,
like
are
we're
we?
Not with it or
I'm
hip.
Not. I've
I
never
know
been
what
with it.
Like.
I wasn't even with it when I was 18.
No, exactly.
But I think Ken Morley's quite an interesting choice of person, because he's certainly a character, isn't he? And if he does come out of his shell a little bit more, I can imagine him really, some people liking him and a lot of viewers really hating him. And
would you say that he's the sort of person that you either love him or you hate
what,
him?
Like Marmite.
Just like Marmite.
Yeah, I think he is, absolutely. But
if I ever say that phrase in real life, can you shoot me?
Okay.
That's just, no one say that anymore, please.
I've been looking on the, just searching for news to see if he's actually done anything since. It was at Wednesday night, I think, and there's lots of things about, like, Katie Hopkins and some of the other celebs that have gone in there. But
oh, I see what you mean.
And Keith Chegwin's the big one they've got this year, but I haven't actually found anything that Ken Morley has done since Wednesday.
Ken Morley is going to have to be really obnoxious and irritating to get himself noticed by anybody in there.
Yeah, but then he's not going to come out of it looking very good.
No, exactly.
It's sad to say, but I think it's going to be a bit of a Julie Goodyear situation.
I don't think that...
Not going to come out looking so good afterwards.
No, he will not do.
But I don't think... He probably doesn't care.
No, he plays off people knowing who he is and...
Yeah,
and
he'll get some money out of it, won't he?
Plays off being a famous card, you know, like a comic personality, and it won't work in that environment.
I don't
because,
think so.
Number one, comedy's moved on since then, and number two, they've got no clue who he is.
No, exactly. Most of the Big Brother viewers are like, well, they're people that are 10 years.
Well, not even
than
then.
And...
Not even the viewers. The people in there.
I think he is famous enough. I think they put him in one of the near the beginning because he is pretty.
No, I mean
famous.
The people that are in there are not going to like him.
Oh, they're not going to like him.
They're
yeah.
not going to find any of his humour funny.
No, I don't think so. Especially the Americans. There's a lot of Americans in there. But the one good thing to come out of it means that it's given us an excuse to do Reg as a character profile. So maybe next week we'll do Reg as a classic character profile.
The lineup for. Celebrity Big Brother this year started off really good because we knew who everyone was.
Yeah, the first four people in there.
Oh, we should watch
like...
this. This could be really great. And then
it went down the pan.
Oh, I'm really famous for having tattoos and saying the F word all the time. If you don't like me, I don't care.
Yeah, I didn't know who most of the people were in the end. But apart from Keith Chegwin, who came in, which is a good one. I think probably Keith Chegwin and Ken Morley might kind of buddy up possibly
they might
in there.
They're either going to love each other or they're going to hate each other.
Like two just jars of Marmite.
Yeah, two magnets.
Like a Marmite and a Vegemite put together.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Now, in more serious news.
Oh yes. I don't know. I shouldn't have even put this fifth. This is political stuff.
Political stuff. Shirley Houston protesting. When was it?
Tuesday,
this week, she protested in front of the Houses of Parliament in Downing Street. On Tuesday, it says there.
Yeah, I looked on her Twitter and she was there with pictures of placards outside Parliament. It was quite funny.
Now, this is a serious issue in the UK because the government, as we know, we're all in austerity and we're trying to cut down on public spending on various things. And the government's decided to do that by scrapping the Independent Living Fund in June, which is serious news for some people that... really rely on it.
So it's basically some money that the government get for disabled people who might not have anyone to look after them. It's basically so they can have a good quality of life and they don't have to move into a home where they're looked after, so they can
be independent. It's really important for people to be independent. Everybody should be able to be supported to be independent, because if you take away that,
I was just going to say, the government have said that, well, there's not really very much point to it because most people who get it, actually, there is somebody else. They are well looked after, but they wouldn't need to. Well, they said just most people have got somebody to look after them.
No, but that's
not
fair on anyone because not everybody's got time to look after people. Not everybody wants their friends and family to have to look after them.
Yeah, I do wonder whether it's made any difference at all. It's like the petitions online, you never know, but apparently there are some visibly moved MPs when the protesters were there telling their personal stories and saying, well, look, this is what my life will be like, or my friend's life will be like.
How could you look at someone in the eye who's telling you that this is going to affect them and say, I don't care, we need to save the money, don't we?
But good on Shirley Houston for going up or down to London and having a bit of a protest about
it. Is this her quote? She said...
I think this is her quote.
It's absolutely disgusting that this Christmas could be the last some disabled people spent in their own homes, as next year they may be forced to live in an institution, taking away their rights and capability to work, to be part of society. Without the ILF, so that's the Independent Living Fund, disabled people don't have the same basic human rights as everyone else.
It's sad,
isn't terrible.
It? Yeah, the people who get the money apparently get between £450 to £500 a week, so cutting
terrible.
That funding, it's pretty bad. So we support you, Shirley Houston.
Yeah, I'm just reading what it says.
Found anything out?
No, I'm trying to read it over and over again.
I think we said everything that I've got there. But yeah, apparently this was quite controversial when the government decided to cut it.
Oh yeah, I told you about it the other day. You're like, I don't know anything about that.
I haven't heard about the news.
Well, just to illustrate, dear listeners, how little Michael
I told someone at school this story today.
When was it I told you about?
It was the day that it happened.
So on Tuesday, I said, oh, so you know about the terrorists in Paris?
France.
And you were like, no, what? I said, what? They
this
murdered.
Just before we were going to bed, wasn't it? And I had not heard of this happening.
As a journalist myself, I'm obviously quite concerned when people go around killing people because of what they've written. And as the wife of a journalist, you'd think you might be concerned. But yeah, when there's a school shooting, I always think about you, but you don't even realise when people... anyway.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to find out now because I've had to send my phone off to get fixed. I've got to be phoneless for a week, everybody. This is the big drama of the week. Yeah, this is most important than everything. The charging port on my iPhone 5S stopped working, so I don't have a phone for a week while I've sent it in. I don't know how I'm going to cope, basically.
Oh, I know, I'm going to get a good night's sleep for once.
Yeah, because it's been buzzing away, hasn't it?
Buzz, 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 bloody buzz. Yeah. Anyway, no one cares about that. Shall we move on to the feedback?
Yeah, let's finish off with a bit of feedback. So, thanks to all the people who liked our 80s pictures that we put on this week.
But I was going to put on the one of me in the jumpsuit.
Oh, but I don't remember that one. No, you should. People would like it, because I liked all the pictures of you in your... what would you describe what you were wearing in that picture?
Mine was kind of like a Madonna outfit, because you couldn't really tell, though, in the picture, because I had on a kind of pink jacket... And under that was like a leotard, which has got a sheer top with spots on it, and then black from like the bust down. And then over the top of that, I was wearing a black tutu, and under that was a pair of leggings with lacy bottoms. And then I was wearing leg warmers and a pair of high heels.
I had a shell suit on and a t-shirt.
And you love that shell suit, don't you? Because you wear it whenever you get away with it, you wear it.
Yeah. Demo usually does make a bit more of an effort than me for fancy dress parties, to be fair.
I make Pinterest boards, I do eBay auctions.
But we put it up on our website this week as a tribute to Beth and Kirk's 80s wedding, and lots of people said that you look very good in that, Gemma.
Thanks.
And I changed the picture to go with the podcast as well.
That was you making an effort.
That was me making an effort. I changed our podcast image again to have a little 80s Nintendo Duck Hunt thing, because that came to me in a flash of inspiration. And I was
I've got it.
I was pretty pleased with how that looked. So, thank you to all the people that have left nice comments about that. And we'll just have one email this week from Tivor, who loved the awards and predictions. She says... Oh yeah, we missed something again last week. I think you might have missed something Yasmin said in the second Friday episode about contacting the father of one of the yobs. The father was a detective inspector and promised to sort out his son. Yasmin told Roy that she was certain the lads wouldn't bother him anymore. That's the end of that storyline. Yasmin saved the day.
I kind of thought it was...
I
didn't forget that. I just don't think we mentioned it.
I didn't remember that at all. Maybe you were you must have taken the notes then. But
you were probably on your phone.
I was probably on my phone while I still could back then.
Yeah.
Tivor predicts that fake Gavin was the real Gavin's flatmate, like we said. And I think the real Gavin is out of the country, so the payroll taxes probably won't be an issue. Quite possibly.
I don't know how it works, though, because don't you have to keep contributing to your national insurance? And if you don't, you have to... Like, you get a certain number of years grace, but if you don't pay, you don't get a pension.
I don't know.
So even if you're not in the country, you have to make sure that it's being covered somehow. It's only something like £100. It's really cheap.
I'm sure they'll try and explain it all, just like they expertly explained Tim's illiteracy.
When I was self-employed, I had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And also, you're supposed to do it when you're a student too, but nobody does. Because you get like something like 15 years or so. So it's a certain number of years because they kind of give you leeway in case you have a kid or something.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you have to have paid in a minimum amount of years.
Mm. Well, I'm sure we'll be back soon anyway, so we'll find out all the answers by then.
I don't think he's going to get rumbled by some Her Majesty's Customs person coming along again. You haven't paid your national
that
insurance
make the most
money.
Dripping of storyline,
not
would
really.
It?
Have you filed your taxes?
You do the next bit of their email.
She says, Tivor says, I thought it was very irresponsible of Alia taking the Basque without permission.
Yes.
She might have made a suggestion to Sean and one or two of the others, but she didn't actually ask Sinead if she could take it. This is what I was going to say. I was just about to say that. This is why I say she's got princess syndrome, where she thinks she's better than everyone else because she's got a degree and they're all common northerners. And she's Princess Alia.
Yeah.
And everything in the factory is hers, and she can do what she wants because she's got good intentions, and that's all that matters in her brain.
Well, it's good because it sets her up against Sal, doesn't it, who also thinks that she owns the place, but for different reasons.
For different
like, she's
reasons.
Worked her way up to this, and she doesn't like this princess coming in from somewhere. But yes, we agree, she was very irresponsible.
The other thing that made me laugh last week was Kirk trying to figure out what he could wear to the wedding. He suggested Darth Vader, which made me laugh, and then he said it would be too difficult to kiss the bride. I can just picture it, can't you?
I do. And she signed off saying that she was not looking forward to seeing Anna's sour face this week.
Luckily, you only had to put up with it for a few scenes on Monday, so I hope you had a nice break, Tivor, because I'm sure you're going to have to put up with it a bit more in the coming weeks.
Yes. I bet that Lucasfilm may not even let them do Darth Vader.
I don't know. Maybe
they're allowed to dress up as Darth Vader on TV without giving George Lucas any money. I don't know.
I think they'll probably let anyone do it now, won't they? Because the rights are open and anyone can do what they like.
I think Star Wars.
Disney. No, I know, but they're trying to.
When we have dress up as your favourite book character day at school, there's always some of the little children that come in as Darth Vader.
Do they?
Yeah, I have to say, it's not book character.
Yeah, but it is actually a book character, Michael. Unless you're going to start being picky and saying that only things that originated
in that case, I'm going to go up dressed as somebody from Coronation Street next time then, because I've got lots of Coronation Street books. I was. They were saying something at school the other day about having this thing where you take a photograph of your bookshelf.
A photograph
of your bookshelf, and then all the children have to guess who it belongs to. And I really hope they don't do it, because I don't read books very much.
You don't have any books.
No, but I do have a collection of Coronation Street books and some Harry Potters, and I think that would give it away.
We've probably got, how many books do you think we've got there? Because I've thrown away about 100
What, on the whole bookshelf?
So. Yeah.
Oh, there's hundreds, aren't there? We've got
so all out of yours. The ones that I can see, the ones that belong to you are some foreign editions of Harry Potter.
That to me shows I'm cultured.
Yeah, because you read it in French and German. And there's the Coronation Street books, the Zelda Hyrule Historia book.
And there's a book about the Bill.
And a book about the Bill. And also, I think, is there some more books over there?
There might be
yours?
Some funny cat books up
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, funny cat books. And people like to buy you I'm an Idiot and I Can't Cook books, don't
they? I think that this episode has taught me that Kirk and I are actually closer than I originally thought, because he probably doesn't know that there's things going on in the news, and he probably doesn't read books either. So I feel a bit, I'm going to do a sad Kirk face as I end this episode.
Oh, you've also got a book called 500 Essential Journeys.
I think there's probably a cookbook or two here that are mine, for like cookbook for people that can't cook.
And a Harry Hill TV Burt book.
Thanks. Everybody really wants to know this.
Everyone's fascinated. Anyway, I'm sure if you must have realised by now, listeners, we've run out of actual content to talk about. We've done all our feedback, we've done our news, we've done our character profile, we've done our Coronation Street.
All we need to do is say how people can get in touch with us if they want to.
If you'd like to tell us what books you've got, you can email us at conversationstreet.
Don't tell us that, but do email us something.
Why not? It's interesting.
We just haven't had many emails for the last few weeks. It's been the Christmas
lull. I like talking to people. I do.
Gemma's interested in books, aren't you? And my mum's a librarian.
Mm. That shut me up. You can find us at conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes. You can Skype us and you can tell us. You can Skype us and go, hello, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now and I've also got a book about the Bill and Harry Hill's TV Burp.
But you won't get put on the podcast unless it's Coronation Street centric.
It needs to have a Coronation Street book at least.
Yeah.
So how do they find us on Skype?
They have to just search Conversation Street and we just pop up or something.
And then you don't worry about us picking up and you having to talk to us or anything. It's totally impersonal, because you just phone us up and then you can leave us a little message.
Yeah, we've recorded a voicemail message and you can only hear it by...
That's right, it's exclusive content only available via Skype.
Miranda's heard it.
Yeah, Miranda.
Yeah, she left us a Skype message.
You can find us on Twitter at ConversationStr, and you can also find us on Facebook by typing in Conversation Street and see those lovely pictures of us from the 80s. And
not actual pictures from the 80s, because we were little then.
We were small, and I just wore generic small child clothing then. It wasn't particularly 80s themed.
No. I could go with like a teenager and hear a turtle, Ninja Turtle, I mean. They were big in the 80s, weren't they? Some 80s
you
thing.
You can't go
That's
to
what
a
I would
wedding.
Have gone to Kirk and Beth's
no,
wedding as
I
a
wouldn't
turtle.
Let you. If you're going to go as a turtle, you've got to properly be as a turtle with like green face paint and stuff.
Oh, I can't bother with
that. It
just
looks silly.
Right, should we call it a day there?
Yeah, I think
Thank
I've got
for
delirious
listening.
Through lack of sleep.
Thank you
I'm
for listening,
sorry.
Everybody. Thank you for your podcast
listening
support.
To our drivel.
Yes, and we'll see you next time for another Conversation Street.
Bye.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.